Yep. We did it.
Turn the lights on, get the door unlocked. We're opening up the lounge. So this was actually, this was pitched to you as an emergency episode of the podcast.
I believe you called it a state of emergency. You were calling it a state of emergency to the podcast. And I didn't know that was a thing that we could do, but hey, we did it.
It's the first time that we've done this, although I have, I think, thrown us a curveball every season so far in terms of just kind of a movie that we weren't planning on watching. Coherence isn't new. It's a 2013, but it is available on Prime, and I think we're going to go into this. I think it's okay to just right off the bat, I'm going to just go ahead and say that the reason I call it a state of emergency was because I love this movie. I thought this was fantastic. Yeah, so good that I just felt like we had to talk about it. And I really wanted to get you in on the action because it felt like something that we would write, and it felt like something that Loma would try to maybe put together ourselves. So without, I guess, further ado, what were your thoughts? Did you go in cold?
I did, well, because you were very adamant that I go in cold. So I did go in cold, and I came out warm. So I was pleasantly surprised with this film. It gave me that feel good factor because it 100%, man, it feels like something that you and I would write, that the Lomo Media team would go out and film. It's right up our alley. It's in that kind of niche space with films. And the whole entire time that I was watching this, it really hit me. I'm like, this is something that we can do and also something we would do. So I definitely enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the way it was filmed. All around, an enjoyable watch.
Glad to hear that. When I first watched this, I did not pay enough attention. And I was like, when I was living in Pittsburgh, I watched this. I remember I was probably like on my phone or something. I remember like coming to the end of the movie and being like, literally none of that made sense. Like, that is like the most up its ass movie I have ever seen. And the whole reason I wanted to watch it was because I watched this other movie with doppelgangers in it that was not good. And I'm actually, I will
find I'm really the name glad, of that film momentarily. I'm really glad that you told me to pay attention, and not that I normally don't pay attention, but I have a tendency to grab my phone at slow times. If it's next to me, I have a tendency to pull up my emails, pull up the Facebook, check the Instagram, maybe watch a couple TikToks. But you know that you've watched enough movies with me, and you said put down the phone, don't even have it with you. So I put it to the side. I just made sure that it was just the movie in my attention. And if that wasn't the case, I would have been completely lost. You have to pay attention from start to finish or this movie does not make sense at all.
It's like pure brain fuel, and the way that it is. And it's not even that, like, I don't say that as like, it's like a super cerebral movie necessarily. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be like smart to figure it out. Like, it'll tell you kind of what's happening, and not in like a condescending way, but it's just like, you just have to pay attention to follow it because there's not a lot happening visually. That's going, you know, it's not like I love Star Wars, so this is not a thing to throw them under the bus, but this is like a sci-fi movie in a weird way. It's not like a Star Wars movie where there's like, look at your phone, you look up, it's like, oh, there's a battle going on or something. You know, this is very much, it's very involved. It's almost like a board game that you're playing, like as the watcher of the movie in a way.
It is though, man, but it's so crazy how if you just look away for 10 seconds, you are completely lost. There's no way. And I noticed that because I was paying attention. The people I was watching the movie with did not, because I didn't tell them to. I was just like, hey, I'm going to throw this on. And I was the only one at the end. I was like, that was great. And they were like, what are you talking about? The movie didn't make any sense. So definitely have to pay attention.
I had watched a movie, the movie I had watched before that was called Headcount. It's on Shudder. And it is similar. It's about like a kid going out into the desert, and he joins, he goes out to visit his brother, and he joins this group of teenagers out there in Joshua Tree. They like have a night of partying kind of thing. But they start to realize that there are more people there than there should be. And so they're trying to figure out who was sitting next to who. And like, you know, hey, wait a minute. I thought I saw you in the kitchen, but that person was just in the scene with them. It's a cool premise. The execution is a little bit sloppy, but it's kind of, it's what made me want to revisit this. And I think that what really interests me about this is that it's like not a horror movie, but there is something unsettling about just the idea that the person next to you is not who you think they are.
Yeah, I mean, the movie got more unsettling as it went on when you started to realize that you thought you knew the groups that left. And then once you start putting together what those numbers actually meant in the groups that they were in, and you're like, wait a second, there's a lot of people that aren't where they should be. Where did these people come from?
That's what, yeah, I love. So that's like the coolest thing about this is that the movie, the premise itself is like the reveal, the first reveal, I guess, kind of. So we have this dinner party. There's this comet coming that's really close to Earth, and so there's all these kind of strange things happening, phones breaking, and they expect, like, maybe there'll be, like, power outage, whatever. But, like, the first reveal of the movie is just kind of this idea of, like, oh, it's like a mirror. Like, this comet passed over, and now this house at the end of the street is, like, identical to ours. And there's a second group of people. And that in itself is, like, enough of, like, a... Oh, this is like a good premise. Like, let's get going. Like, what are we gonna do with it?
It definitely had me hooked right then and there for sure.
Then again, not to like jump ahead too much, but the end reveal that it is not like 10 people that are getting mixed up, but that it is like literally millions of different versions of the same people. Every time there's a really cool fun fact on the Wikipedia page, and the director said every time the film cut to black, that was to signify that something happened. There was some kind of switch.
Okay.
And there are like this movie is it is like a low budget movie. It's like it looks good. You know, like it's low budget in the sense that there's not.
It definitely like a, looks like a low budget film though. It looks really nice, but it does have that low budget feel to it.
I think it's an execution thing, I think, where it's like, it doesn't look like one of those, when we did our independent season, I hate to call it this, but it doesn't look like a fake movie. Like, it does, so you're right, like, it does look like a low-budget movie, and it is, a lot of times, kind of like handheld camera-type stuff, but between the shots and the performances, to me, it doesn't look like a fake movie. If I went to a movie theater and saw this...
Yeah.
But feel like it's a real movie.
It doesn't have that indie film curse where certain independent films look just not like a movie.
Yeah.
It's that it's that uncanny where you're like, something's not right and it takes you out of it. This does not have it. But back to your earlier point when we were talking about millions of different versions of themselves, what I liked is that it wasn't just a million versions happening all at once. It was a million versions happening a minute apart from each other down this timeline.
Yeah.
And at first we don't know that, but it's revealed to us later on that that is what's happening. So each of these houses, each of these groups of people are at different stages of figuring things out. And that was the coolest element when I finally found that out, what was happening. Cause it would have been so easy to just been like, oh, well, there's something wrong. These are all different dimensions or universes pulling in on each other. But it's like, no, that comet is causing a massive rift in the timeline itself. And it's just like rippling down.
Right. Yeah. I think that kind of circling back to like, what is so unsettling about this too. And what's interesting is that, like, none of the characters in this movie necessarily are an antagonist or have some kind of, like, you know, there's a couple moments where the one guy, I think his name was Mike, he's, like, the drunk guy.
Mike, yeah.
There were some moments where it was like, oh, like, I gotta go over there and kill that version of me because I bet he's thinking the same thing and I got to do it first. Outside of that, it's not like they're trying, it's not like a slasher movie where they're stuck in a house and there's like a killer. There's not this huge indication that like somebody's going to break into their house and bash their brains in. It's like pretty, you know, the thrill aspect, quote unquote, is like pretty low. It's kind of more of them just trying to figure out what's going on, but it still manages to like really unsettle you when you figure out, like, especially like their choice of words. This was really interesting to me, but like, I love that when Emily figures it out, she's explaining it to Mike. She's like, we are visitors. Like, this isn't our original house. We don't belong here. We're visitors. That like creeps me out. That's the thing about this is like, you know, there's nothing inherent that should be, not aliens and not, it's not ghosts. There's nothing that should necessarily be scary about that, but for whatever reason, it is so effective to me that it is, you know, it creeped me out.
I mean, they're really, aliens really cool. In their own right. They're ghosts and aliens in their own right. I mean, not right, foreign, right. But they are aliens to that environment. They're not supposed to be there. And the way that it was explained, the way that it was shown, makes it unsettling. The same as if it was a ghost story, the same if it was aliens. Just watching this and listening to their interaction and just knowing like these aren't the people you think they are, and half of them are from a different house, one of them's from a different house. And once we see Mike, one point in the movie where it starts to change and picks up is when they told us up front that Mike is, you know, recovering, he's not drinking anymore, life is good. And as this movie progresses and gets a little bit worse and everybody's kind of moving around, seeing Mike just wasted and causing problems, that's when you know. That's when I knew. I'm like, oh, something. This is bad.
Right.
This is real bad.
Right. So what's interesting about the character aspect of it is that James Ward Bird. James and Bird in the same name. This, maybe you guys did direct. Maybe you guys from the future directed this movie. It's again a coherent style plot twist. You and Bird put this together, and I also changed my name to Ward, so I'm in there as well. So what's interesting is that he said when he was putting the movie together, he had all of these like graphs and charts that were trying to track who was going where, and like all of the logistics of it, and yeah, eventually. Yeah, but he did come to the conclusion that, like, the logistics of it do come second to the character drama that's happening in the house.
Yeah, because if you're spending too much time worried about who's supposed to be going where, at the end of the day, they're the same people. So if you're spending too much time being like, well, they're supposed to be here twice and then I'll remove them once, you're spending more time without developing the actual character themselves.
This could be a stage play. I mean, like, that's an interesting part of it, too, is that it takes place in one setting. I think it's paced pretty well if you pay attention. I guess somebody watching this who isn't into it is going to know pretty quickly that they're not into it, because the movie has kind of one tone, one pace. You know, I don't think that a lot of people are going to, like, get halfway into this and be like, oh, now I like this. It's kind of, you know what you're getting into once things start happening.
Yeah, it doesn't change. It keeps the same speed throughout it. It gets to maybe about 10 minutes in, and then they're like cruise control.
Right.
That's where we're at. We're
on, and it's not super long or anything. It's like a solid 90. So it's lean. Did you catch, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before you watched it or after. So when you were initially watching it, did you notice like so we have the glow sticks. Originally they open a box of glow sticks to help them see outside and inside the house. And what they realize is that this other group, before they know just how many people there are. And I guess Emily and Mike are really the only ones that ever find out kind of just how many realities there are. Mm-hmm. But they open up these glow sticks, they pick a color. And when they run into a version of themselves outside, they see that they have a different colored glow stick. And we start to see that people get mixed up. There's a great scene where two of the men, and I apologize, it's been probably like a week and a half since I've watched this. And I will say the one thing about this movie is that like a lot of the characters just look alike. Mm-hmm. But Amir.
Yeah, I think it's Amir and Kevin.
Amir and Kevin, it's so, what I love too is that they are surprised. Like, they come back to the house, they don't know that they're in the wrong place, and then, like, something happens, like, somebody comes in and explains, we ran into these people outside, and then they go into another room, and you see them pull, like, different colored glow sticks out of their pockets, and it's like, even they are like, oh, we're in the wrong place, you know? That, I think, is such a cool premise.
We end up seeing a couple different glow sticks, though, don't we? There was, I mean, right at the end there, it's like purple, blue, or something, pop blue.
Blue, red, and green. Those are the three colors we see. Okay. Now, did you notice, that's what I was going to ask you, did you notice some of the lighting in the movie was blue and red as well?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great moment where Emily, it happens twice, I think, because at one point, Emily goes back to her car to get this ring that her fiancé gave her, and she ends up doing it again later, but going into somebody else's vehicle, or going into her duplicate's vehicle to kind of knock her duplicate out and take her place in life. There's a moment where the car tail lights light up red, like, on her, and I love that they are just kind of subtly using these colors to represent, oh, like, she's no longer in her own universe or dimension or whatever. She has now become the red glow stick version of herself, you know?
Do you think if they didn't utilize the colors and the glow sticks and the lighting, do you feel this movie wouldn't have been successful as we think it is now?
I mean, I think it, I don't know if I would say that, but I think it lends, I think it's something that's desperately needed in the movie, is like some kind of visual component to kind of split things up.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at. I feel like, you know, that visual element is needed to have this movie make sense in the way that you wrote it and the way the story needs to be told. Without those tools for the viewers, I think it would have been a very confusing movie that maybe you weren't as invested in. But I know, at least for me, every time I saw it, a different light or a different glow stick, I was just immediately, oh, something's wrong here. What is it? Who is not where they're supposed to be?
Right, for sure. What'd you think of the ending?
I thought it was great. I mean, that was terrifying. The whole entire thing when she kills her duplicate, or doesn't even kill her, finally has enough and is running through, looking at all of the houses, and you're seeing the different stages. Finally gets to one right before the comet goes over and locks up the timelines again. She finds one that just entered it.
Yeah.
Takes out herself, puts herself in the trunk, and then immediately is like, oh, I'm with my happy family now. And of course, they had to get us one last time.
Right.
That phone call. And he's like, it's you.
That's such a, I love that ending, and it's so bizarre imagining being in that circumstance or that situation. And, like, you know, being the person getting the call, and then also being the one, like, do you try to play it off? Like, this is crazy. How has this happened? You know, like, how do you kind of get away with this thing you've done? Which would essentially break the laws of science. Like, if it was ever, you know, if it ever happened, it'd be like, all right, what are you gonna do, charge me with my own murder or something, or like attempted murder? Like, very bizarre. I think that what this movie does, I guess the reason I was over the moon about this, and like the reason I really wanted to do it for the show, when I finished watching it, I usually do double features, and I couldn't watch anything else because I was like, nothing I watch is gonna make me feel the way that I'm just like kind of awestruck about this movie. But it manages, through all of the logistics, all of the numbers, the game, the whole, like, figuring out, unlocking this puzzle, you know, of what's happening in the movie, it manages to also hold a consistent theme. Like, the characters are strong. I think the character relationships are strong. I think you get, like, a good sense of, like, who likes who and who doesn't like who. Like, the movie does that well. And then I think the ending to me is like interesting, because the whole movie you have like Amir is going to go to, I think, Korea for work, and he wants Emily to come with him, but or not Amir, excuse me. here is going to Korea for work. Kevin. And wants her to come with him, and she like doesn't know. And then she also there's an ex-girlfriend there who is like trying to kind of interfere with their relationship, and the whole movie just kind of revolves around this idea of like, what are you willing to do for like the life you want to have? And, like, what are you willing to do for like you know, like at the very end she makes this decision, this insane bizarre, brutal decision that she's willing to kill another version of herself to steal her own life back. Which is also a thing, too. Like, they have this conversation about she's a dancer. They have this conversation about how this other girl, you know, she like, didn't get the understudy, even though she did all this work for it. They hire this other girl, and somebody at the table goes, oh, so she, like, has your life. And, like, it's, like, an uncomfortable, awkward moment. And so there's this thing at the end where she essentially takes her life back, but you're kind of, like, at what cost, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, at least for me, like, I'm not happy for her. She had to get her own life back by ruining herself, but two separate versions. So I guess you don't really understand how that works. I was just looking up. And I would like to see more from this director, but I don't think we're going to.
He hasn't done a lot. And the movie wasn't necessarily, like, unsuccessful. The budget was $50,000, and it made, like, $100,000. Which, honestly, like, for an independent film, it's not terrible to double your money.
Not at all, man. And I think it's great, too, as a piece to show what you're capable of with, you know, those constraints too. I mean, I would have thought you would have at least gone on to do something different, but he didn't. This was the only film that he ended up doing. There's a couple shorts and a video game.
Yeah, it looks like he produced a film in 2016 called The Forest. And then it does mention on Wikipedia that he has one coming up called Ideation, but there is no release date on it. And there's no real information on his page about, like, when that is going to be coming out. But I will say, like, the movie was... I mean, I think people do want more from him. The movie was pretty critically acclaimed for being unconventional, using... You know, the movie feels very realistic to me, which is also a thing that I enjoy, is, like, you take a... It sounds simple to us, and maybe to people... But when you think about filmmaking, I think we both thought about this when we're writing shorts. It's like, what do? We take an extraordinary concept, and we set it in an ordinary setting that is, like, feasible for us to film in. Mm-hmm. You know, production-wise, we're not Industrial Lights and Magic. We can't make Star Wars Episode 10. But we can make a movie. If we had written this, we could make a movie in a house about a dinner party where people are not who they say they are.
Could you imagine how tough how this would have been to film, though, with our crew? And been like, no, Bert, trust me.
Yeah, I love Bert, I love you. He doesn't even listen to the show. Why am I even saying that? I do love Bert, but I do feel like Bert's editing decisions are not cut out for... this kind of film. That's not an insult. Bird's got his own style. And it's just, it's not like, I don't think it's like cerebral, independent sci-fi
drama. You know, you meant camera angles, not editing.
Camera angles.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
I do the editing.
Yes. We could edit this.
Editing skills.
I have no doubt in my mind that you would, that you would have put the cuts to black exactly where they should be.
And if you haven't seen it, just turned it around too and played it backwards.
Yes. If you haven't seen it, folks, go check out our little short that we did around Halloween, open window. Cause I'm really proud of it. I watch it. I think it's good for what it is. It's like our first stab at something that's not really like a comedy sketch. And, I'm pretty happy with how that turned out. So
I will give everyone behind the scenes. The black and white was not a creative decision until we got to the editing and realized that neither myself nor Brian, for whatever reason, were in focus. So I had to drop the color grading down, and so it actually would focus itself without showing the film grain too much.
Yeah. Well, it works. You are innovative, just like James Ward Bird is, or us from the future.
That's us from the future. So I haven't done anything yet.
How do we turn it into one guy? Is our photo on Wikipedia just from like Shutterstock?
We don't have a Wikipedia.
If you go to James Ward Bird's Wikipedia, he's got his photo there. If this is us from the future, who is that man?
Well, we lost some weight. That's all I can say. Thank God.
Yeah. Whew. It's good to know that something good is going to happen to me in the next 20 years. All right. No, well,
we got a good thing going.
We got good things going. Did want to mention as well, very good. I mean, look, you run down the list. There's not a lot that I don't like about this movie. I think the acting is good. The performances are good. The improvisation is good and natural. It's believable that these people are friends. There is some great dialogue, and you messaged me about this line that I also picked out, because at one point, and this is just great, I mean, like, go watch this movie, because, you know, we've been in such a rut with some of the things we've been watching. This is a real winner, so go check it out. But there's, you know, fun little stuff, like at one point Mike tries to blackmail himself, his other version of himself, because he had sex with Hugh's wife, and...
Oh yeah.
When they figure it out, he has a savage line where he says, "Hugh, if there's a million realities, I slept with your wife in all of them," which is just like wild, absolutely wild. So, and it's just like little detail stuff. It's so great. This is the kind of movie that makes me want to make movies. Like when Hugh comes back, and they realize. She goes, yeah, like, I had put a Band-Aid on your head, but it wasn't that one. You asked for the cloth one. Like, it's those little things. It's just a really, really... Obviously,
that's what makes it, man. Yeah. What makes it.
I'm glad that we watched it.
Me too, man. I am also glad that tomorrow, after you're listening to this, tomorrow will be our first sketch back. We're happy to announce that Lomo is back in action, and... We drop in a hot new piece of content every Friday over on our YouTube channel. So it's pretty exciting stuff to be back at it.
It's true. If you're not watching the video version of this, I did get some surgery, so I look a little different in the new sketches. But it is me. Lo and Mo, your favorites, are both returning for the new sketches. And I wrote some of them, and I'm excited to see them come into fruition, including the first one, which I'm very excited about. Based on, we'll just get a little background, because it's coming out tomorrow. Why not? Behind the Mantis sketch, which is a real sketch premise that you have, that was written, that we have the script for. Lord knows if it will ever be filmed, but it is just such an insane premise for a sketch that... we've kind of built this mythos around this sketch that we have not filmed. And so we've done this kind of VH1 Behind the Music look at the creation of this sketch that, as of yet does not exist. And I think it's a lot of fun. I'm excited to share that with people.
Me too. And if you'd like to support our dream and our journey of becoming full-time creators, full-time film makers, you can join us at patreon.com/lomomedia. Two tiers, all with their own exciting offers. I'll include this podcast a day earlier in its video form and behind the scenes content, and access to exclusive giveaways where I give away Aaron to one lucky winner to be wed. Because he needs health insurance.
Somebody please. I do desperately need health insurance, folks. This is the Lomo budget is running thin these days. and your boy needs about $200 a month for his medical needs. But we'll figure that. Hey, don't you worry about old Mo. Just throw him a couple quarters if you see him out there. If you do want to support the show and you can't afford to, there's a couple ways you can. You can tell a friend. It's the easiest way to do it. You can also share on social media if there's an episode you love. That helps us out a bunch. And most importantly, if you go to Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. I'll be keeping an eye there, and anybody who reviews the show, I will read it on the air. That helps people find the show. So that's like one of the coolest things you can do. We'd really appreciate it. And next week for Lomo's Most Wanted, we're moving into my good movies. Oh, wait. Okay, back up. I've got this sorted. So next week we are watching the last of your highlights. And then we are also going to be joined by a special guest. James from Filmcore will be with us. What?
I was like, who do we get as a guest for next week? And then I was like, yeah, we already filmed that.
We will be, the episode structure is very, very bizarre over here.
Confused me. I was like, what?
We will be watching Casino. I don't even think I said what we were watching. We're watching Casino. And then after that, on Thursday, we will be discussing the new Kingsman film, The King's Man, with James from Filmcore. So you can tune into that. And then after that, we got a cool horror week scheduled. We'll be flipping. So you'll be getting my highlights, and you'll be getting
my lowlights.
Lowlights, yeah.
So. Which we're watching Knowing and... What was Devil. The other one I picked? The Devil. Knowing and Devil. Which we don't know. These might be good, everybody. Just if anything, you know, if last night taught me anything, when you go in and you think a movie's going to be bad, it might be good. And I got to tell you, everybody, Space Truckers is a damn good movie.
We are going to, I'll tell you what, you texted me about Space Truckers. And I am making the conscious decision to not watch it because we are going to do some kind of watch party. Maybe our first on our Amazon stream, our Twitch stream. We're still figuring out the logistics. That I would like to do Chopping Mall as well. I think that would be fun for us. But we are going to pick out some bad good movies to watch with all of you and anybody who wants to join us. So keep an eye out for that. More news coming there. But I think that's all I have. We got to so for me it's easy. All right, we kept the bar closed last week because we did not want one missed call to know that we were even in town. And so now I think all of the millipedes have cleared and the demon babies have all crawled away with their cell phones.
Yep.
But we have a dinner party, and I heard that there is a comet passing over the Lomo Lounge.
There which is. Actually,
it also explains why I look different in the new sketches.
It does. And it also is, I'm confused because all those bars down the road here look exactly like ours. I'm going to go check it out, Aaron.
Yeah, I was going to say we should probably bust open these glow sticks and go check it out. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and let the full cast of Coherence as well as James Ward Bird into the bar. They can they can help themselves and have some drinks with a little bit of ketamine.
Just take the edge off.
Yeah, we'll be back, and it will definitely be us and not a version, a Schrodinger's cat version of us that... I don't know. What's alternate version, Jimmy? Like,
mine is which one?
I love like Creed is like the alternate version of Aaron. It's like everything is the same except like I love Creed.
The alternate version of me is the Instagram photo where everything else is the same except for I just have hair like I did when I put on Jesse's hair after we shaved his head. That's the only difference.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. You're gonna go kill that version and steal his fake hair so that you can have his life. Alright guys, tune in next week for Casino and The Kingsman. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Get out of the bar.
Bye everybody. Get the hell out.